in this past year with AI tools, we shipped, built and shipped four consumer iOS apps. And that, I think that was only possible, obviously, with all these tools, and it got significantly faster towards the end of the year in 2025. But I think like budgets can be used. So $1 million round, let's say you've raised, at this point, you're building 10x faster, sometimes even more. You're like on a product level, but now you can afford to run more experiments. And a startup is just a handful of experiments that you're trying to figure out and like prove out a thesis. And now you can prove out multiple theses at the same time because of these agentic tools.
So your take on it is you can do three or four products at once, which would lead me to believe that the cost went down. If you think you can do three products at once and test them, the cost will go down by 2/3. You'll need three or four people instead of 10?
Definitely, because you can start to just automate out roles or, yeah, basically tasks, right? Like what tasks can you automate out? That number is, I think, just increasing every month.
This Week in Startups is brought to you by Eru. Unify your identity, endpoint security, and compliance into a single platform. Book a demo at eru.com. That's iru.com. Deal. Founders ship faster on Deal. Set up payroll for any country in minutes and get back to building. Visit deal.com/twist to learn more. And HubSpot. Check out the advanced ChatGPT prompt engineering from basic to expert in 7 days. Download it free at clickhubspot.com/twist2.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back to Twist, February 11th, 2026. It is AO17, the 17th day after Open Claw appeared here on This Week in Startups, and we have been claw-shotted. With me, Presh Dinesh Kumar, who worked with me for many years at launch, and he is the co-founder and CEO of The Wellness Company, which we incubated at launch, which is the venture firm that I run, launch.co. He's got five products in market: Go Polar for people who like to jump in cold water, Sunseek for people who like to get sun, and a bunch of other ones. And we'll talk about that as well. But Presh, you too, as a founder, have been watching OpenClaw, this new agentic platform that is open source called OpenClaw. It was previously called ClaudeBot, but we're not going to keep reminding people of that. It's OpenClaw, it's open source, and it basically lets you create personas, replicants, agents, all of those things. We like the term replicants, so we're going to use that here. So when did you first see OpenClaw? What did you think? And then what did you build?
Thanks for having me on, Jason. So first time I saw it was maybe 2.5 weeks ago, just on Twitter going viral as ClaudeBot. And then first saw it going viral, didn't play around with it. And then it was just my entire feed. And so I was like, okay, I got to try something out here. Installed it on an old MacBook that I had, and then just started talking to it, and then basically learned how to use the product through interacting with it. And then I was like, oh, blown away with all the use cases. So I have set it up. I have, like, I guess, three or four examples that we could run through.
Yeah, let's go through them. And so tell us the first example. Show the first example. You know how we do it here on Twist.
So right here, first thing, Jacob from your team emails me this morning and wanted to see what I was going to talk about in the OpenClaw segment. And so the first thing, we'll get into how I set this up, but the first thing is I tag my assistant, who I call Awa, and Awa goes and actually creates a document of the use cases that we had been having a conversation through Telegram, and creates this doc and sends it to Jacob. So,
and did you ask Awa to do that? Did you ask Awa to create the document and ship it?
So Awa is connected or filters, you know, through my email, and then sends an email to me, or sends a message through Telegram saying, you know, Jacob wants to see the use cases. I'm talking to AWS saying, create a document and send it back for use cases that, you know, we implemented. And so it's created this doc, and I can pull up the doc later to show, but this was just like done in 5 minutes, right? From when Jacob reached out to
me. Got it. And so it's like having an assistant. It's like having a chief of staff.
Yeah.
Boom, you got the document up and running. And then what did you do next?
These are some other ones that are pretty useful. So I'm in diligence, right, with launch, raising a round. And one of the questions is in the diligence questionnaire is like, can we talk to some users or customers of your products, right? And so one thing I did was talk to Ewa. I was like, Ewa, you know, do you have access to my Postdoc? I couldn't remember if I had connected it. Postdoc is an analytics platform and it's connected to all my apps and can see usage over time and get into the nitty gritty with, you know, active users, et cetera. And so I am talking to Ewa here and I ask it to pull my active users for Tempo, one of the products that we have here at the wellness company. And so Ewa goes through, uses Posthog, filters through the project, which is for Tempo specifically, and then gives me a list of the users. And then I asked it to create it, you know, into a Google spreadsheet. And then from there, not screenshotted here, I had Ewa go out and send an email to the users that I specified, asking if I can use them as a reference. And so this was like done in 5 minutes, basically.
Wow. But it was, so this is a multi-step task. It requires intelligence. If you were to ask ChatGPT, you know, or Gemini, or just any language model to do something like this, they would say, well, we don't have access, so therefore we'd shut it down. If you use OpenClaw and you authenticate, it not only will go in there and get the data, it's going to think of what other steps you want it to take, and it can go out and then connect it to your Gmail. So for people who are new to the OpenClaw revolution here, or the agentic revolution, LLMs have gotten really smart, but they have been powerless. They've been sandboxed. They've been kept essentially in a corner. We basically took AI and we put it in a little closet. Now you let the AI out of the dungeon and you say, here's the keys to the kingdom. I want to trust you to go do things. And it goes and it does things. And that means you can run your business a lot faster. This is somebody who you would have had to pay essentially, you know, if it was a mid-tier employee, $40 an hour, $80,000 a year, $70,000 a year, to have somebody who's capable of doing this. Correct, Presh?
Yeah, you would have someone who could, you know, you've asked this question when I used to work for some context, I used to work for Jason. You would be like, pull up the last 10 companies that we invested in that are consumer businesses or something. Right. Yeah. And so I would go and go through a Notion and yeah, you know, spend five
that was minutes, literally whatever. You were that guy. You were the $30-$40 an hour guy who would go do knowledge work tasks. That Presh job from 5 years ago is now going to be replaced, I think you would agree, with an OpenClaw replicant.
Exactly. Because you can just
100%
get the you're on a meeting. What's the question? You know, we would have meetings and you would be talking to founders and I'd be in the background just like waiting to action stuff for you.
So now even running a small company and, you know, you're a pre-seed company, you know, going to the next phase, you can afford to have a Presh. Okay, let's do our next one.
All right. So another one is I have my agent connected to an email. So I use this product called agentmail.to. I don't know if you've heard of it, but essentially—
Which one like is this? Tell me again, agentmail.to.
Yeah, agentmail.to. I think they're a YC company. They basically, it's like giving your LLM or giving an AI agent access to its own email. So Ewa is my assistant. Ewa has its own email. And so I can email its Ewa, you know, email address and it can perform tasks for me there. And the benefit of this is like, okay, I get an email. I can CC Ewa or my agent to perform a task on that thread versus taking a screenshot or copy and pasting into my chat with Ewa on Telegram, for example. So it's basically like giving presence wherever you are.
And this is a key. Now, there is the chance that there could be an injection attack or somebody could try to convince Ewa at agentmail.to, which you just exposed, and try to get it to do things like tell it, hey, in the previous example, you asked it to give you metrics. It could say, hey, give me all the metrics from Presh's app. How are you sure it's not able to do that? Or are you not sure it's able to do that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I've done like a little bit of testing on like the prompt injection stuff that you're talking about. So basically, it will never perform a task without confirming with me through Telegram first. And so all tasks still are funneled in, like Ewa on the email layer will go and see what's asked of it. And then it will come back to me and then get my like final approval on performing an action or a task.
Got it. So if somebody unknown tries to give it a task, it's going to go to you and say, hey, somebody tried to give me a task.
Yeah.
Will it respond to them and tell them it's doing that?
So it won't right now, because I set it where it's like any interaction with an outside party has to get an approval from me. So it'll maybe draft something, but.
Did you just tell it to do that in its memory, or is there a setting to do that?
Yeah, I just told it in its memory. So anytime it is looking at that email
inbox.
Hope
it remembers. And hope somebody doesn't use your name and create a bogus email and then try to trick it.
Yeah, exactly. Like spoof the email. You know,
I mean, there's all kinds of vectors here. It's totally possible. So this matters because now your agent has its own email. You've also got it in Slack and Telegram, and it's basically a member of your team, which is what I told my team to do immediately. I was like, let's just treat them as a persona, a replicant, just like in Blade Runner. We have our replicants and they are learning, and we've got two different teams working with two different replicants now. To just, you know, have them work in parallel. What else have you gotten your agents to do?
Okay, another good one here that's super useful, actually. So we set up a cron job, and the cron job is just a repeated task, as you know. And so the cron job right now is set in the morning, 8 a.m. and evening at 6 p.m. It basically goes out and searches for relevant news for our business. So we create health and wellness products, so I want health and wellness news. And so the first image here that you're seeing, it identified a article, a research study that came out, and it says major longevity study, just 7 minutes daily could add a year to your life. Okay, so I'm interested in that. It's figured out, it searched this on the web and it surfaced that to me and talks a little bit about the study. And so that in itself is like very valuable, but it's maybe like a better version of Google Alerts. That's like level one stuff. But then I go and ask it, I want to create some content. This is like a research study. There's a lot of data points. Research studies in general aren't formatted or very like written well out to digest. And so I was like, let me go and create that based on the research study, right? And so I go and ask AWA to basically turn that into a blog post, and it goes and does a first pass at that. And so that was a quick, you know, 5 minute interaction. I got a new research study sent to me. Let's make some content. And now I can go and put that on my blog. The next step, which I haven't executed on yet, but it's very much possible, is it's written the draft. I'll give it some edits, and then I just get it to post it on the website, on our website.
And this is why we're going to have so much AI slop in the world. It's just going to be too fast.
Listen, we all know ChatGPT is amazing when you just need to look something up quickly. But if you're not going really deep and getting strategic when you write your prompts, you're not getting the most out of this incredible tool. But I've got a free resource from our friends at HubSpot. It's called Advanced ChatGPT Prompt Engineering, from basic to expert in 7 days. HubSpot is giving you a complete system for structuring ChatGPT prompts using the ROSES framework: role, objective, scenario, expected solution, and steps. Thinking about your prompts this way is a huge game changer, and it's taken me from just hoping I get the right output I'm looking for to knowing with confidence that I'm going to get the information I need organized the way I want it. So level up the use of your AI and download the guide for free at clickhubspot.com/twist2. That's clickhubspot.com/TWIST and the number 2. Or find the link in the description. And thanks to HubSpot for sponsoring this episode.
Have you thought about having it do other steps, like make me a promotional graphic for Instagram, X, LinkedIn, and publish that draft to my Substack, put it into LinkedIn? Because that's where, you know, you start thinking about the tasks that when we were working together, I would write an essay in a Google Doc. I'd give it to you and I'd say, okay, go ahead. And we'd have this checklist of 20 steps that you had to go do, and you would spend 2 hours doing all that work for me. Here, like, you have those next couple of steps. Have you connected to like Nano Banana or an image generator yet to come up with, you know, collateral for it?
I have connected to Nano Banana, but haven't automated a process out yet. So right now it's just based on like input. If I asked it to create the graphic, it would do that. I don't have an example here, but you're exactly
this
right.
Is that, good, because you know good. What I just realized is you're behind us. So we are doing similar projects, but in some of our projects, we've actually got it going and making collateral images to go with it, and starting to think about that. So what's so much fun about this is none of the, you know, things on the checklist. Hey, I'm making a social media post. I'm making a blog post. I want to super distribute it. I've got a long tail of checklist items. Who wants to do that? Why not have a replicant do it and then just check their work? And you already trust this, obviously, right? You trusted to get it to 80%? What percent do you think?
Yeah, I think 80, 80, 90, sometimes even 90. That's why I'll always have it send back, like in a doc, for example, of what it's done. And then I'll do like final approval or edits and then send it out.
All right, what next?
All right, last one here is customer support. So this one's big. So again, another cron job that kind of monitors the inbox. And right now the inbox is kind of read-only. So it'll never send anything from my personal email. It doesn't have the permissions to do that. But it'll surface it and give me relevant stuff. And so one thing is it searched here, my inbox, for a support email. And then it researches, or it identifies that it's a bug. And then it researches that bug because it's connected to my GitHub. And so now it has access to my code base. And so this is interesting because now it's making the reference, finding the issue, identifying what it might be in the code base, and then giving its solution. And then I have it sent to Slack in our bugs channel for the product. And then and here you can kind of see the example. Oh yeah, here I have a screenshot. So it puts it in Slack of the bug, what it investigated, what likely causes this issue.
What was the bug here? What does it say?
So this one was, it was like a water temperatures API bug. And so in the watch, this was for GoPolar, when the user was submerging it in a specific activity type, it wasn't triggering the water detection.
So that was a bug either in your software or the Apple Watch. So there was a bug from a user that they weren't getting the recording of jumping into a 40-degree ice bath. So they send that bug report in. It then takes that from your email, analyzes the bug report, and says, where is the relevant code in the product? And then it went and checked it. What did it tell you to do? What was the report back and its advice to you? Tell us what it told you to do. And what did it give you, two or three possibilities?
Yeah, so it gave us, so you can see here, it says likely causes in order of probability, which is excellent.
Wow.
So it goes and tells us, you know, there's kind of like a watch API that could be incorrectly configured. It could be an Apple related like hardware issue. And then the next step, Jason, which was like, I didn't use ClaudeBot for this, but I have Claude inside our Slack. And so I just tagged Claude in this as a thread, and Claude went and fixed the bug and then just created a new branch for me to go and test it. So I literally just went from email, customer support, to agent identifying the bug and giving a suggestion, to then Claude, Slack integration, fixing it, creating a new branch for me to test. And then I went and tested it on my device to see if it was fixed.
All right. So let's talk turkey here, Presh. You're running a startup, and I want you to think this question through. You're running a startup. You worked with me for 5-6 years investing in startups. We watched people run them. One of the issues was always if you were making niche products or products for a niche like you're doing, the number of people who jump in cold plunges is low millions of people. So this isn't like, you know, a product that everybody's going to use. The issue was, could this ever be profitable? Because you needed to have a team of 10 people when you started with me 10 years ago. 10 people to do a modern day app was kind of a minimum. Those people would cost on average $100,000 each. You needed somewhere between $1 million and $3 million to run per year an app company. Now, you are running an app company, but you're using this agentic technology, OpenClaw. So my question is, what does that, let's call it a minimum of $1 million a year budget, a minimum of 10 people or so, what does that look like in the future? So what's the answer, Presh? What is it going to take to build a modern app company if you were all in on OpenClaw?
It's a great question. So just to also like preface it, like in this past year with AI tools, not obviously using OpenClaw, we built and shipped four consumer iOS apps. I think that was only possible, obviously, with all these tools, and it got significantly faster towards the end of the year in 2025. But I think like budgets can be used. So $1 million round, let's say you've raised, at this point, you're building 10x faster, sometimes even more. You're like on a product level, but now you can just run, you can afford to run more experiments. And a startup is just a handful of experiments that you're trying to figure out and like prove out a thesis. And now you can prove out multiple theses at the same time because of these agentic tools.
So your take on it is you can do 3 or 4 products at once, which would lead me to believe that the cost went down. If you think you can do 3 products at once and test them, the cost will go down by 2/3. You'll need 3 or 4 people instead of 10.
Definitely, because you can start to just automate out roles basically tasks, right? Like what tasks can you automate out? And that just that number is, I think, just increasing every month.
See, this is important because I saw the OpenClaw founder had said he thinks 80% of apps are going away. I might take the other side of that bet. I might think we might see 2 or 3 times as many apps because apps are going to get so affordable to build and maintain and to improve that, you know, if you want to make, like I use a skiing app called Slopes. Yeah, that app would, you know, the fact that that app exists was like crazy to me, but now it doesn't seem crazy to me. I think you could make one that's not just slopes, but it is for snowboarders or not just snowboarders. You could then go to snowshoers or cross country. And, you know, you're now slicing, but improving and making the product better and better. We've got a brand new partner here at Twist. And as fate would have it, we love and use their product. If you need to hire, manage, pay, or equip your team members anywhere around the world, you need Deel, D-E-E-L. They're going to take care of all the annoying human resources tasks that you don't have time for. Payroll, compliance, visas, and onboarding. So you can stay focused on achieving product market fit or scaling your business or finding more talent. Deel scales with you. They do all your chores, all the hard work, and they do it perfectly from the first hire on. So there is never a need to switch platforms or transition to a new system in the future. It's future-proof. And with Deel, you can set up payroll for any country in just minutes and get all the complicated visas and paperwork settled right away, allowing your business to grow without borders. And that's the smart way to grow now. Talent is not limited to San Francisco, the United States, or this continent. It's everywhere. That's why more than 37,000 startups and fast-moving companies are already using Deel to accelerate their hiring and growth. Find out more by visiting Deel.com/twist. That's Deel.com/twist. Also, I happen to be a shareholder in the company. I got very lucky. They acquired one of my startups, and I am stoked. It's an amazing company. We've got 2 amazing guests today that we're going to bring on now. One is Sean Liu, and the other is Vishnu. They are both one-shotted. They have been claw-shotted. They have been open-shotted, whatever it happens to be. Vishnu, thanks for coming on the program. Welcome, Vishnu, and let me also bring on Sean. We'll come on at the same time. Sean, we talked about your product on Monday. Why don't we start with you, actually, Sean? Show us what you built and why it's important. I know that one of our guests said, oh, I don't think this is super impressive on Monday. I was like, well, I think this is pretty impressive. So like most, you know, innovative things, you could be polarizing, but show what you built and why you built it.
Yeah, sure. So let me start streaming here. This is the app, so you can see my live stream view. Okay, so I'm going to...
Oh, you're wearing glasses that are smart glasses. What smart glasses are you wearing? Which brand?
It's Meta Ray-Ban.
Meta Ray-Ban, got it.
So this is the gateway of the OpenCloud extension. So here I'm going to start the AI, so which is powered by Gemini.
And obviously the Meta glasses have some sort of an API, or did you just hack into them?
Hey Gemini, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What can I help you with?
Okay, so can you add this into my Amazon cart?
Okay, and I see, Sean, you're holding up a box.
Flash lens wipes to your Amazon cart. Searching for them now.
So it is running. It's executing. And you can see it is searched in Amazon. And
I see the search results. Is the Wow Flash 200 count box the correct one?
Yes. Please add it to the cart.
Adding the Wow Flash 200 count lens wipes to your Amazon
cart. Okay, so you can see here is added to the cart. So this is what I'm building right now. Basically, it's integrating the visual understanding to the OpenCloud. So because before this, there's no visual understanding, or if somebody wanted to do visual understanding, people are sending the image frames directly to the OpenCloud, or they're integrating the SDT or TTS to their OpenCloud. But actually, I think that's not unnecessary. So I just integrated the Gemini Live into it. So basically, it's a 2-layer agentic system. So firstly, the Gemini Live will take care of every frame and also the voice interaction. So basically, it's the real-time perception. And after that, it'll use the tool call to delegate the task. So basically what OpenCloud get is just a simple task. Then it'll execute, and after that, it'll get the feedback, then it'll bring back to the Gemini Life and bring back to my glasses.
So just to recap for the audience, you have the Meta glasses on. These are the ones that have cameras. There's an API for that, or did you just hack it somehow?
Yeah, they just released the SDK, so you can use it.
Got it. So you tap into that SDK, you take that live feed, and you gave the live feed to Gemini Live, which Gemini Live is when you like have a conversation with it, but I guess you can also feed it an image stream. So you're feeding every single frame or every 10th frame. How does it work?
It'll take care of it. The API will just, whenever you are interacting with it using voice, it'll take a frame, but you can also engineering on top of that.
So this is incredible, because if you were actually in the real world, let's say we were having a meeting and we're doing a whiteboarding session, I could be drawing on the whiteboard and it could be writing plans and taking the audio. So since OpenClaw doesn't have these tools in it, you've got a layer between OpenClaw and the glasses, which is Gemini Live. Super brilliant. Is this going to be a company? Who are you? What are you doing? Are you going to make this into some sort of a company? What's going on in your world?
Exactly. This is the new emergent capability that we first see that brings visual capability to the agentic system, and also brings the agentic capability to the glasses. You can see, like before this, all kinds of demos of the glasses is all about instructions, teaching people how to cook the meal. But it's all about, it's just like the chatbot. It's basically the differences between the chatbot and agent. So before this is all about the ChatGPT chatbot-like instructions, asking things as queries. So, and this, after this, you can just directly use your glasses as the entry to the OpenCloud. So I think that's the emergent capability, especially why OpenCloud goes so viral is you have to, compared to cloud code, you have to use your terminal or use the VS Code or IDE to interact with the cloud code. So basically cloud code is an agentic system, but this brings this kind of agentic system to all kinds of entries. So I think this is going to unlock a huge potential.
Huge potential. Yeah. And then there are also generic glasses out there, and there's webcams. So you could probably find a pair of glasses on Amazon or Alibaba's store that are like $50 that just have a camera that take a, one frame a second. You don't need to be posting some 4K of me skiing behind me. You just need like four shots a second or something to know what's going on in the world and to process this. This is incredibly powerful. And you could think about like somebody working in a store doing inventory, and it's just looking at the, just talking out loud and just being like, okay, looks like we have, people have been buying a lot of milk. We're running low on milk. And you just look at it. And then it sends to the milk purveyor how much milk we have left. It looks at the dates and the expiration dates and then just puts an order in. Like, imagine the person at Costco running around. Just person runs around Costco. One person could probably walk through the store and without even doing any work, could just talk out loud, stream this, and manage the store. You could go from probably 10 managers at a store down to one. And that's what people, I think, are missing here when we talk about OpenClaw in the year of our Lord, A-O, 17 days. Presh, what are your thoughts here when you see Sean's very cool, hacked together proof of concept?
Yeah, I think it's brilliant. And I think like we'll see more. The Meta iteration cycles on the glasses have been pretty impressive. I know that, I don't know, Sean, if that the one you're using has this display screen as well. That one doesn't have the display screen, but yeah, I imagine when you have a display screen that's also interfacing with, maybe it's sending it to your computer, but you're seeing like action items on your glass, so you know exactly what it's doing versus just obviously how it's interacting right now just through text or mirroring on your phone. I think that gets really interesting. A question for you, what personally, as you've been exploring this technology, what's the most interesting use case you've used personally with the glasses?
Personally, I think is about just add all kinds of stuff that I think I need to buy more in my fridge. So I just say this, and let it to just directly add all those bunch of things into the shopping list.txt. And I use that txt to say, oh, just add them to the cart. And then I just bought it.
And then you buy, and you use Amazon to add it to your cart or Instacart or whatever other service.
It's just Amazon, the Amazon browser automation. Yeah, but not me personally, but I think the coolest example I see is yesterday a perfumer reached out to me to say it really unlocks the huge unlock to their experience of making the perfume. For example, so before that, he was integrating with their open cloud to just, they have to text to it. They have to use the Mac or the phone, like Telegram, to say, oh, I have this chemistry and I added this much. But after this, he tried this my repo, and he can just directly say, oh, hey, Gemini, what is this? Help me record this. And then he has the agent, he has an agent skill, which is record everything into the Airtable. So basically, he organized all kinds of perfume formula in that Airtable database. So basically, how he make perfume right now is just directly use the Gemini to record this and dedicate the agent with the skill to record into the Airtable.
Running a startup means you've got to manage dozens to hundreds of devices. Every employee at my company has a work phone. They have a laptop. Maybe they have a tablet in some cases or a desktop. You could pay for an entire IT team to manage your software updates, security patches, and policing everyone's password and software. Or you could sign up with our new partner, Eru. I-R-U, Eru, and get enterprise-grade security at a startup-friendly price. Eru turns small IT teams into force multipliers, and they're going to automate your onboarding, patching, and compliance, whether you're on a Mac, Windows, or Android. Set your policies once, and then trust that they're going to be enforced perfectly, flawlessly, deftly. And if you have an issue, support's going to respond in minutes, not days. Eru does it right. And one Eru customer told us they run their entire ID department with just two staffers. This is an at-scale company. So stop spending time on device management and worrying that you may get hacked or have problems, and start spending it on projects that grow your business. New features, new products, new services. Book a demo at Eru.com. That's IRU.com. What a great domain name. IRU.com. This makes you into the Terminator. It makes you into RoboCop. And I was just thinking about this. What a great idea it might be, Vishnu Presh, Sean, to take this version and to give it to ICE agents who are in the field trying to identify people. And I don't mean to make light of the situation, but you know, some of these folks who are out there doing stuff for ICE have been known to be less trained and maybe not good at threat assessment. If this thing was giving you a real-time threat assessment and was like, this person is acting in a peaceful manner, this person is acting in a threatening manner, and it was advising you what to do or things to look out for, it would pick up on, hey, this car is about to run into you, this person has a gun, etc., long before a human could actually respond to it. And if it could also be hitting the Palantir database and saying, hey, this person is somebody who is at their 17th ICE, you know, demonstration. They actually attacked an ICE officer previously. There's a warrant out for them. This person is a teacher and they're 72 years old and they're not a threat. You know, best advice is to de-escalate. This actually would be super helpful in real time to assess these things. Okay, we've got a lot of our noties. What are noties? Noties are the loyal Twist live listeners. We do the show live sometimes. So if you go to youtube.com, subscribe to This Week in Startups, click the live button, get alerts, put the bell on. There's a little bell there. You'll get an alert when we go live, and then you can ask questions. That's called the Noti Gang because they have notifications turned on. And a member of the Noti Gang, Reed Adams, says, do you think this will drive seed rounds down in total cap raised and equity purchased where valuations stay the same, but founder gives up small percentage of equity? Or do you think this will shift market to smaller cap raises at smaller valuations? This is a great question from Reed F. Adams. Presh, you and I have seen this over 30 years of me being in the industry and 10 you being in the industry. We've seen a seed round, a Series A, you know, go from low millions of dollars down to hundreds of thousands of dollars to people just going to an incubator, taking the $125K and getting a product to market, or just getting a product to market very quickly. So what I think happens is the founders are already keeping more of their company. They could skip venture capital completely, and they could just bootstrap. And the longer you bootstrap, the less equity you give. We have a term, not a unicorn, not a Pegasus, an alicorn. A unicorn that has wings, like a Pegasus. That alicorn, we had a couple of them, like Calm, where they were making so much money, they would use their revenue to fund their next round and skip a round of funding. Each round of funding, typically 10 to 15% dilution. In the old days, it would be like 20 to 30% dilution each round. That's when founders wound up with low single digits or mid-single digit ownership at the end. Now founders get to like 20% ownership by the end, sometimes more. That is what we're going to see more of. My best advice to founders is to skip rounds. What do you think, Presh?
I think we saw the early cycle of that with Calm, and that was like pre-LLMs, pre-AI, where the money is useful is pre-seed, where you know you have the idea and then you're going full-time on this thing and you're building out the product. You maybe need some resources just per like.
Yeah, to have three people quit their jobs. Three people quitting their jobs is 30K a month. It's 360K a year. People take a 10K draw. There's enough people in the world who can live off 100K a year, 75K a year, 150K a year. You'll be fine as a founder. Vishnu, welcome to the program. I don't have your last name here. Vishnu, tell me your last name and tell me, when did you find out about OpenClaw and are you in fact claw shotted?
Very much so. Hey guys, I'm Vishnu, just an engineer. I think I heard about OpenClaw 2 weeks ago and it kept coming on my Twitter and I was like, okay, by the end of last week, I was like, okay, I got to give this a shot. And initially I actually tried this on my laptop and I was like, okay, let's see what it can do. And the next day I opened and I saw 8 OpenClaw instances. I'd given it some tasks as, you know, running CPU 100%. I was like, okay, this is not good. At which point I decided to take it off and try to find a virtual machine and just try and see, can I host this somewhere else, you know, that where I feel more safer and, you know, all my keys and, you know, everything is not exposed because technically it has full access, you know, it's cloud.
It's basically rooted your machine. So running it on your desktop where you have your Coinbase account or your Robinhood account or your password manager is a very bad idea. So you decided, let me put it in a virtual machine in the cloud. So it's sandboxed and can't go too wild.
Exactly. Yeah. But that was interesting journey because I started off with, okay, let's look at AWS or Google Cloud Provider. And I started off, I didn't want to spend too much. Typically, you know, there are free instances that are, you know, all of these big giants provide. I think in GCP, it is EC2 Micro. But turns out it doesn't work very well with those small instances because it needs a high enough RAM. I tried E2 micro, E2 small, and I think at the end it was E2 medium where I finally got it working at around 4 gigabytes of RAM. But that was already $25 a month if you actually run it through and through. And again, I wasn't super psyched about something that I don't know well enough that it, you know, is it actually going to be, you know, useful enough for me while I already have, you know, other subscriptions. So I kind of went online and hunting for, okay, where can I find, you know, cheap enough host. I explored a few different things. I think there was Hetzner, there was a bunch of others. One of them, I think the cheapest I found was around $7-$8. So anyway, I set it up. And then I think 2 days later is when I had my aha moment. I was working out in the gym and I was texting with it all the time. And it just did certain things that I did not expect it to do.
What was the example that kind of one-shotted you?
I was tired of typing it all the time into it. And I wanted it to be able to just hear my voice and do it. So, you know, because you're working out in the gym, you don't want to go back.
No, I've been there. Yeah.
It told me, hey, I don't have a key. You know, do you have a DeepGram key? Blah, blah, blah. So fortunately, I did have one. And so I provided it and it just did all the setup itself. It set it up and now I was able to answer.
It basically created its own software to talk to you. And that is one of the things that I think moves people from, you know, being curious about the software to being all in is when it doesn't have a capability and it goes, you know what, if you want to talk to me, let me research on the web. Okay, there's 7 different ways to do this. These seem to be the 2 best. This one didn't work. This one did. Okay, we're up and running. That is a mind-blowing moment. So you take all this and then you decide you're going to do what? You're going to make your own hosted version for normies?
Actually, no, that wasn't even the next thing. So next thing was, I was like, holy shit, this is so cool. I texted all my friends like, you know, like, guys, you got to try this. You know, it was like, I guess the virality, how OpenClaw comes up. And they were all, I think over the next day they tried it, but then it's like, yeah, the setup is hard and et cetera, et cetera. They were like, so I just said, you know what? I have a VM and it probably, so a lot of times this is idle. You know, it doesn't necessarily is using all of the CPU or RAM. I was like, I'm just going to host it for you guys and I'll expose like a container and give you this. So that's how it started. And they started using it and they loved it. And I thought, okay, let me put it online and see if there's other people. The cost of actually running this, if you do it correctly and you know you do shared resources, I think right now it's still, it's about $1.25. You could probably push it to 99 cents pretty much.
Per day, per month?
Per month.
Just to have it running. Now you also have the LLM builds. So you created agent37.com and you can run your own instance for $3.99 a month or $10 a month. And now, is this a good business to be in, or is there a bigger vision you have? Because hosting OpenClaw, that seems like a commodity. OpenClaw is obviously going to have their own hosted version. It's kind of like WordPress hosting. I don't know if it's a great business, it's a good business. There's 2 or 3 people doing it who have built multi-billion dollar businesses. So I don't think it's a bad business necessarily. But is that where you're going to go with this? Or do you have a bigger idea, Vishnu?
I mean, I think it's a bit early. Like really, it just started off as here's an experiment. Guys, go try this. And I was surprised over the last 3 days, it just kept growing, you know, like initially it was 99 cents. I bumped it up to $4 or $3.99. And I think at this point I have around 71 and it's still growing users who are all actively using it. So yeah, it was just totally unexpected. In terms of long-term, I mean, we'll see where it goes. I mean, I'm committed to seeing it through. Given, you know, how rapidly it is growing.
Are you an entrepreneur? Are you a consultant? What do you do in your day job?
No, just an engineer. I have some time off to take care of some things. And this just happened to be a moment where I was like, okay, let me try.
So if I were to give you $25,000, be your first investor, have you come to my accelerator where I give you $125,000, would you take that deal, have Jason Calacanis as your first investor, and then you come on the pod every month and we talk about your progress? How does that sound? That might be something you're interested in. Okay. You say yes?
Yeah, let's do it. I didn't expect this. Okay. Wow. Okay. Sure. Let's.
Okay. This is how we do it. You want the $25,000 or you want the $125,000?
Let's do the $125,000.
Okay, so that's $125,000, 7%. It's a standard deal. You get at Y Combinator and Techstars. Standard deal. You come to the accelerator. Since you showed the initiative, this is my diligence. Okay, so as long as we have to do a little background check, you're not a criminal. You're not on the lam. You haven't kidnapped anybody. We're going to assume that you did this work and it's not stolen or there's not IP theft, but we'll go through a quick diligence. You come into the accelerator. That's great. Sean, what's your story? Who are you? Are you an engineer working for Meta? What's the story? You're an entrepreneur?
Yeah, currently, just after this, we have a team right now. So it's basically doing this for traditional industries.
Have you raised money yet?
I haven't.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the same offer. $125,000, you come to the launch accelerator. As long as you can prove that this is your IP and you have not committed any crimes, I don't think you have. You seem like an upstanding young gentleman. Or $25,000, you come to Founder University, 2.5%, and you could just have a light relationship, but you get to say, hey, I got J-Cal from This Week in Startups and All In. It's my first investor. Is that something you might be interested in, Sean?
Yeah, let's do $125,000.
Okay, so I just spent $250,000. You're both in the accelerator. This is how we do it, folks. I'm an instinct investor. These guys are great. I want to work with you guys for the next 12 weeks, and then we're going to go raise a monster seed round, and we're just going to blow the shit up. That's it, folks. Sean, Vishnu, 250 dimes. I'm just spending money on the air. My team, Lucas, is going to get in touch with you after this, and Jacob, and they're going to get you through the light, very light diligence process. Well, you guys aren't incorporated, I take it. If you aren't incorporated, we'll get you through incorporation, set up your cap table, show you how to do all that good stuff, and we will be in business together starting Monday morning. Let's get this done. It's Wednesday. Let's have this done by Friday. We can get working on the weekends. Thanks for coming on the program. I appreciate you both. All right, everybody. That's another episode of This Week in Startups in the Can. And we will see you on Friday with Lon Harris as my co-host. And we always do off-duty. Off-duty at the end of the Friday show where you get a couple of great tips for media, movies, TV shows, books, video games, clothes, fashion, food, music, any of those things. We'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye.